You're listening to the Revolution Church Podcast. To learn more, including our gathering times in Crossville, Tennessee, visit us at crossvillerevolution.com.
My name is Brandon, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so excited to be standing here this morning. I had about 10 different people come up to me today and say, "Brandon, you must be preaching because you're actually wearing a nice shirt." So I was a little insulted. And then I immediately spilled coffee on my nice shirt, and I was like, that's why you never see me in nice shirts. But anyway, I am so excited to be here this morning, because this morning I have the privilege of starting off a brand new series called The Next Step. What is the next step that you need to take as a follower of Jesus? I mean, after all, following Jesus literally means following Jesus step by step, looking at the steps that Jesus took and then taking those steps ourselves. We all have a next step that we need to take in our walk with Christ. And for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about a few of the steps that you, some of us in this room, might need to take next. We're going to talk about a few of the most basic, but also a few of the most fundamental, but also a few of the most challenging steps that God could be calling a lot of us in this room this morning to take next. And hopefully the Lord will convict some of us in this series, and hopefully he will make us realize, like, dang, wait a second, I've been staying in one spot in my relationship with Jesus for so long, and Jesus has been like, come on, take the next step back there, let's get going, and I've just been standing there. I need to finally take the next step so that I can experience what God has for me next, so that God can use me to do things that I never dreamed of doing. So that I can be transformed into the man or woman of God that he wants me to be, the man or woman of God that my family needs me to be, that my city needs me to be, that my church needs me to be. But you have to take the next step in order for that to happen. And the problem is, I think there's some of us in here who we're calling ourselves Christians, right? We're calling ourselves followers of Jesus, but we're refusing to actually follow Jesus, and we're refusing to actually take that next step. And I think the question that a lot of us need to ask ourselves is, and I had to ask myself this before, is this real or not? You know, do we believe this stuff or not? If so, let's get going, man. Let's take these next steps. Let's get where God wants us to be, y'all. I mean, come on, we got people with addictions that God wants to use us to set free. We got families breaking apart that God wants to use the people in this room to mend. We got people struggling to survive that God wants to use the people in this room to help make it. We got people dying and going to hell, a very real place the Bible calls hell, all around us, y'all. And God wants to use the people in this room to bring them to the cross of Jesus. And if you think you live in the Bible Belt and there aren't people dying and going to hell all around you, then here's my advice. Go to Facebook and go to that gossip group on Facebook called Crossville Chitter Chatter, and then scroll back to around April of last year, around the time we bought this movie theater, and then tell me everybody in this town knows Jesus, you know? We don't need a church. We need the movies. Revolution Church took over our movie theater at gunpoint, and now all the kids are going to be hooked on meth, you know, because they don't have their movie theater, quote unquote, you know? Or just recently, I saw someone post on there, because sometimes it's like a guilty pleasure, you know? But I recently saw somebody post on there, they said, get rid of Revolution Church and bring back Ryan's. Ryan's? You know, first of all, what do we have to do with Ryan's closing? And secondly, Ryan's, you know? I know this is kind of funny, but my point is, there is so much work to be done, even just in our little Bible Belt town. And then think about outside of our town. You know, we got people who don't know what gender they are. We've got people trying to reinvent biology. We've got people celebrating the murder of defenseless babies. We've got people trying to reinvent God's perfect design on pretty much everything. We've got fake churches trying to reinvent God's word, crime skyrocketing, all of this. And a lot of us, we look around and we say, man, what is going on in this world? God, do something about all this. And God's like, yeah, well, how about I use you, you know? How about I use you to be a part of the change? How about I use you to start a revival? How about I use you to bring some heaven down to earth, you know? Oh, but wait, I can't use you. You won't even take your next step. How could I use you? I really think that's the seriousness here. I really think that's what's on the line here, and that's why we are in this series. And with that being said, let's get into the first step that we're going to talk about in this series, the step that some of us in this room this morning may need to take next, and that is the step of generosity. The step of generosity. And just to be clear, this morning I'm talking specifically about being generous with our finances, with our money. Like, let me go ahead and rip that Band-Aid off real quick. But that's okay. We're all going to be all right, I promise. And first of all, let me take a second and thank Pastor Josh for allowing me to speak on this subject. It's almost unheard of for a lead pastor to let another pastor on staff, especially a next-gen pastor like me, to speak on a subject like this on a Sunday morning, especially in a church that's desperately trying to pay off a building they just bought. So thank you to Josh for trusting me. And y'all who are already generous to this church, who already support this church financially, you got to promise not to stop that no matter what I say this morning, okay? You promise, as long as you promise that, will be good, because that would look horrible if the giving just tanked after I preached on generosity, all right? So make me that promise. But anyway, for some of us, maybe a lot of us, the next step we need to take is the step of generosity, especially when it comes to being generous with our money. Some of us have never truly been generous, I think, and I think it might be holding you back from what God wants for you and for your life and for your family more than you know. So that's what we're going to talk about. And just to be honest, I could not be more excited to talk about this subject with y'all, and I really mean that. Because aside from the step of actually putting my faith in Jesus, right, there has not been a more exciting, more life-changing, more faith-building step that I have taken as a follower of Jesus than the step of generosity. So, and I want that for y'all. So let's get into this. So this morning, I want to talk about the who, I want to talk about the what, and I want to talk about the why when it comes to generosity, the who, the what, and the why. Let's start with the who. Who should we be generous to? Who should we be generous to? If I'm going to take this step of generosity in my walk with Jesus, who should be on the other end of my generosity? Who should be the target of my generosity? Well, one answer is anyone. Anyone who ask. Anyone who asks. Jesus is pretty clear on this in Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, 30 through 31, Jesus says, give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it? So it could be anyone who asks. And listen, maybe there are situations where, you know, it's not wise to give to someone who asks for it, and maybe you'd be enabling them if you gave to them, and I get that. And maybe there's a biblical, you know, case somewhere that says, hey, we shouldn't give in those kind of situations. But just to be transparent with y'all, I don't know of one. I don't know of one. And I'm just saying, this is what Jesus said here, give to anyone who asks. And we should take this command from our Lord, our boss, seriously. This is a command from Jesus Christ. And y'all, it's not easy, though. It's not easy. It's not easy to give to anyone who asks. And in fact, it can be very hard. Let me tell you a story about one of the first times I was ever truly generous to anyone who asked me. I was about 20 years old. I had just got saved, just started following Jesus for real. And I was in a gas station in Atlanta, Georgia. And this guy came up to me and he said, hey, I have no money, but my family and I are traveling. They're out in the car. We're all really hungry. And so would you mind buying a few little snacks for me and my family? You know, cue the violin music, right? And my mind raced with excuses. What can I tell this guy? How can I get out of this? He's probably lying about something. He's probably going to take advantage of me in some way. I don't have a ton of money right now. It was extremely hard, but I knew this verse. Give to anyone who asks. Dang it. You know? So I said yes. And y'all, that guy found a shopping cart. I don't even know gas stations had shopping carts, but this one did. And he filled it up to the tippy top, you know. But I paid for it. And then I watched him wheel his shopping cart out to his car all by himself, just him in the car. No family. Just made up that lie. I just paid for this guy's groceries for the year. And the people in that gas station, I remember how they looked at me. They were looking at me like I was a sucker. You know, I was even a little embarrassed. I'm not telling you this to brag. It's kind of the opposite. I'm telling you this because it was extremely hard for me to say yes to anyone who asked. My point is, it's hard to give to anyone who asks, like Jesus says. It's hard to be generous to anyone who asks, like Jesus says. But what does Jesus tell us to do that's not difficult, you know? And this guy did take advantage of me, but that's okay. I don't regret it. I'm glad I did it because Jesus said, my boss said, give to anyone who asks. And I'm going to trust that God is going to use this for his glory somehow. I'm going to trust that God is going to use that to advance the gospel somehow, to bring heaven down to earth somehow, because that's what obedience to God always leads to. And also, I like to remind myself of something when I'm in a situation like that. Did you know that God will sometimes send angels disguised as human beings to test us in the area of generosity. Listen to this, Hebrews 13:2, mind-blowing verse. It says, don't forget to show hospitality, or I think another way you could say that is, don't forget to show generosity to strangers. Why? Because some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. I mean, how cool is that? But also, how scary is that? You know, some pressure there, you know? So when it comes to who you should be generous to, I think one answer is really anyone who asks. I mean, this could be a guy at a gas station. This could be a homeless person in Nashville as you're walking around, you know, downtown. This could be your waiter or your waitress, you know, at Cracker Barrel or Cancun this afternoon. You know, there's this reputation that church people have rightly earned that they are horrible tippers. Horrible tippers. I've talked to a few different waitresses just to confirm this, and they all told me, man, nobody in my restaurant wants the Sunday afternoon shift because most church people don't tip well, or they just don't tip at all. It's crazy. And this is incredibly frustrating to me because what an easy way to change the way people look at Christians, and as a result, change the way people look at their Savior, their potential Savior, Jesus Christ, if we just tipped our servers well, you know? But instead, we're known as greedy, and we're known as fake. And so if I was a server who didn't know Jesus, I'd be like, I don't want anything to do with this Christianity stuff. So tip well, even if the service is bad. I would say tip even more if the service is bad, because how much more of an impact is your generosity going to make on the waitress or the waiter if they know they did bad and you were still generous to them? So be generous. And Jesus says, be generous to anyone who asks. We don't know what kind of impact our generosity is going to make. So anyone who asks is one answer. But the Bible does get pretty specific in a few places. For example, the Bible says, be generous to your family. Be generous to your family. 1 Timothy 5:8, it says this, those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, listen to this, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. So that's a pretty harsh verse. So I wanted to make sure I threw that in there. So we want to make sure we're paying the bills. We want to make sure we're paying the mortgage. We want to make sure we're putting a roof over our family's head. We want to make sure we're being financially responsible for with our family, our future families, if we're single and we ever plan to have a family one day. Not making stupid decisions. Not completely burying ourselves in debt for stuff that we know we don't really need. We want to make sure that we're keeping our families in mind when it comes to our money and how we spend it. So another answer is be generous to your family. Don't forget that. And by the way, though, this, let me tell you what this verse doesn't mean. This verse doesn't mean, well, I can't give to my church this month because my family really needs a vacation to the Virgin Islands this year. You know what I mean? This verse doesn't mean, well, I can't give to this person in need because my family needs to go in debt for the new BMW. That's not what this means. But it does mean make sure we're providing for our family, make sure you're taking care of your family financially, meeting their needs, maybe not meeting all their wants, but meeting their needs. Be generous to your family, the Bible says. And then last, but certainly not least, you should be generous to your church. Be generous to your church. So I know that churches have a lot of churches have a horrible reputation when it comes to how they handle finances and how they handle money. And I can't speak for all churches, but I'll tell you this, when you give to your church here, when you give to Revolution Church, very broadly speaking, the money that you give goes to things like running ministries, which reach people and lead people to Jesus and make disciples of Jesus out of people. It goes to supporting missions. It goes to taking care of church members. It goes to taking care of and providing for and paying church leaders. The Bible says that we should do all those things. And when you give to your church here, those are the things that you are doing. So for example, listen to what the Bible says about paying church leaders. Galatians 6:6, it says, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. 1 Timothy 5:17-18, elders, which is interchangeable with pastors or church leaders, who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay. 1 Corinthians 9:14, it says, the Lord ordered, the boss ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. And when you give to your church, that is one thing you are doing. You are paying your church leader. So thank you guys for my last paycheck. I really appreciate that. And just so y'all know, no one on staff, none of the church leaders are getting rich. You can give $1 million today, and tomorrow I'm still going to be driving my 2006 Nissan Frontier, okay? I promise. But we do use the money that you give to do what the Bible commands, and we pay our church leaders what is reasonable to pay them. The Bible also says, care for other brothers and sisters in your church. There are so many verses to choose from that talk about meeting the individual needs of brothers and sisters in Christ, but let me pull up one of the clearest ones. 1 John 3:17, it says, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, so a fellow Christian in need, a member of their church in need, a lady in their lady small group, or a man in their men's small group, or a student in their Rev student small group, or a person in their RYA small group in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Harsh stuff. And you can, of course, do this without giving money to Revolution Church. You can and should do this on your own. If you know of someone in your church who has a need that you can meet, then you should meet that need on your own if you can. So a couple in church just had a baby, or a person in the church just lost a spouse, and the very last thing that's on their mind is cooking dinner, right? Well, you can go swing by KFC, go get them some KFC, right? Or you find out that a person in your church has a medical bill they're really struggling to pay off, and you can help them out with it, or maybe even pay it off for them without breaking a sweat. If you can do that, then help them out, you know? If you know someone in the church struggling financially, they could really just use some extra cash for some gas money. Man, slip them some extra cash after service, you know? If you got an extra car and you know of someone in the church who really needs a vehicle, man, give them the car. Give it away. You know, if you're a student or a young adult in here and you know of someone in school who has these really terrible shoes they've been wearing all year, and kids make fun of them behind their back, and you can afford with your allowance or the money you got from mowing the grass or whatever to buy them some new shoes, man, go buy them some new shoes. But if you know of a need in the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, that you can meet, then meet it on your own, one-on-one. But if you don't know of a need right now to meet, then give to your church, because we hear about needs all the time, y'all, and we use the money that you give to help people in the church who have serious needs, like the Bible commands. So the Bible says, be generous to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And when you give to your church, that's another thing you are doing. The Bible also says, be generous to give to missionaries. The most famous missionary in the Bible was a guy named Paul, and Paul wrote a lot of what we call the New Testament. For example, the book of Philippians in the Bible is Paul writing to a church in a city called Philippi, and listen to what he says to them in chapter 4. Philippians 4, 15 through 18, Paul says, as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are, listen to this, they are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. So Paul is talking to this church, and Paul is thanking them for being generous to him financially with their money as a missionary. So clearly we should give to missions and missionaries like the church in Philippi gave to missionary Paul. That is a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God, the Bible says. And when you give to this church, that's another thing you are doing. We give to multiple different missions. For example, we give to the Bread of Life. That's a mission that serves the homeless here in town. We give to Camp Ozone, a ministry that shares the gospel with so many kids every single year. We give to a ministry called The Father's Heart, which is a ministry in Nashville that shares the gospel with people on the streets of Nashville, which is one of, if not the most secular city in Tennessee. We give money to a ministry called Churches Planting Churches Network, which helps and supports and equips new church plants all across the state of Tennessee. We have a school ministry. We support and care for 8 different schools in our town, providing teachers with gifts and things they need as they're pouring into the next generation, showing the love of Jesus to those teachers and to those students. We give to a Christian counseling center here in town that provides Christian-based counseling at super flexible prices for people who really need it. We give to a ministry called Eden Ridge that supports and offers a place of rest and rejuvenation to overseas missionaries who are doing incredible work spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth, like Jesus says in the Great Commission. I was just talking to a guy who was staying at Eden Ridge who was telling me he was translating the Bible into a language for this tribe. I mean, it's incredible. And that is what you're giving to when you give to your church here. And also, real quick, let me say this too. Because let's just be real, right? If you like it here, then man, give here. You know, help out. Pitch in. You know, it takes money to keep all this afloat. Like, imagine going to a restaurant and eating a meal and leaving without paying. But I think that's what a lot of us are doing every single Sunday morning. We're dining and dashing, you know? Now, you don't have to pay to eat a spiritual meal here. We're not going to take admission at the door, I promise. But man, my gosh, be much appreciated. Y'all, the city of Crossville didn't donate this building to us. And despite what the people on Facebook say, we didn't come in here with a gun and take it from them. It costs money, right? And the city doesn't donate our electricity or anything like that. Like, it takes money to have sound during worship. It takes money for y'all to...
If we didn't have sound, this is what it would sound like.
Y'all. It takes money to have sound, you know? It takes money to have heat and air, you know? I mean, y'all have heard us say that our toilet paper budget is like roughly 10 grand. And how crappy is that? Y'all are quicker than first service was with that. Good job. But if this is your church... If this is your church, then give to your church. I think the Bible makes that clear. And also, I feel like I should say this too. This goes for everyone, by the way. Even the people who work here, even the church staff, even the church leaders, we try to lead the way in generosity. Everyone on staff here gives. I guarantee you, actually, that some of the biggest givers in this church also work at this church. I just want to make that clear. So that's the who when it comes to generosity. Now let's talk about the what. What is generosity? In other words, what do I give? What exactly do I give? How much do I give? Well, let me just give you the clear answer right up front. Biblical generosity is giving whatever you want. Giving whatever you want. When it comes to the people who ask you, give whatever you want. When it comes to people in need in your church, give whatever you want. When it comes to giving to your church, give whatever you want. Whatever you want, whatever you feel God is calling you to give, then give that. There is no set amount that God requires from you or me when it comes to being generous to your church or when it comes to being generous to anyone else. And maybe you're like, well, Brandon, what about tithing? Aren't we commanded to tithe? We've all probably heard the word tithe, right? The word tithe is an old word. It actually means tenth. And so when you hear someone say you should tithe to your church, they're usually saying, well, you should give 10% of your gross income to your local church. And listen, 10% is a good number. You know, maybe it's a good place to start being generous. You know, if that's what you feel God is calling you to give, that's awesome. Give 10%. But I personally do not believe that tithing in the biblical sense applies to you and me today. In other words, I personally don't believe that you're commanded to give a certain fixed amount to your local church as Christians today. And it's totally okay if we disagree on that. No biggie. You don't have to come and argue with me after service or leave the church, all right? It's totally okay. But I will say this. In my reading of scripture, I see that tithing was a part of the old covenant law that God gave this guy named Moses to give to the people of Israel. And you will not find a single command to tithe that is directed to New Testament, New Covenant believers at all in the Bible. It's just not there. There's actually only 4 times that the word tithe is even mentioned in the New Testament. And in none of those examples, in none of those passages, does the Bible tell New Covenant believers to tithe. And I was going to go through all 4 of those passages this morning to make my point, but then I thought, oh, that's probably overkill. And I don't want anybody to think that this is a big deal if we disagree on this. It's not. We're both going to get to heaven one day. And when we both get there, we can go up to God and he can just tell you I was right. Okay, so it's no big deal. Just kidding. But after studying scripture on this, if it means anything to you, and it might not, but if it means anything to you, my personal opinion is that you do not have to give 10% of your income to your local church. There's not a set amount that God requires from Christians today to give to their church. Again, 10% is a great amount if you feel that's what God's calling you to give, but it's not a required amount biblically. But listen, don't think this gets us off the hook for being generous to our church. I think tithing was a command to Old Covenant Israel only, but do you know what God always has and still does today? Command his people to do, even us New Covenant believers, be radically generous. Be radically generous. You know, on top of their obligated command to tithe to God by law, to the temple, to the priests who managed the temple, the people of Israel also gave freely above and beyond to God's house and to the priests and to God. All throughout scripture, we see examples of people giving all sorts of different amounts and and different gifts and different possessions to God above the tithes they were commanded to give by law. We see a lot of people give some gifts that were extravagantly more than just 10% of their annual income. And that kind of generosity, y'all, that kind of free will giving hasn't changed. That attitude of generosity should still apply to us today as believers in the one true God and as followers of his Son. But there is not a set amount. Give whatever you want. Listen to what 2 Corinthians says. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, you must each decide. You must each decide in your heart how much to give through prayer, through wisdom, through discernment. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And that verse, I think, perfectly sums up the what. That's what biblical generosity is today. I believe it is free will giving, deciding in your own heart how much to give and not giving reluctantly or out of obligation or in response to the law, but giving freely and cheerfully. Got to pray about it, and God will tell you how much to give, but whatever you feel he's telling you to give, then give that to your church or whoever else he's telling you to be generous to, even if it's way more than 10%. And I'm just telling you, if you're spirit filled and spirit led, sometimes it will be. That's the what. Now let's talk about the why. Why should we be generous? Why should we be generous? There are so many reasons why we should be generous, but I just have a few for you this morning. Here's one reason why, and it's a big one. Because Jesus was generous. Jesus is generous. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we should want to be like Jesus, right? I mean, what does 1 John 2:6 say? Let's pull it up on the screen. I think we have it. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did, right? When I was a kid, I played something called upward basketball. And if you weren't raised in a weird Christian home like me, you probably have no idea what upward basketball is, but it was basically a church league basketball. And at the end of every game, the coaches would gather the team together and they would hand out these little cloth stars. And so if you were really good at defense, maybe they give you a red star. If you're really good at offense, maybe they give you a blue star. If you're really fast, maybe they give you a green star. I don't know. But they would hand these stars out at the end of the game. And the idea was you would go home and you would have your mom iron on these stars to your jersey. So you come back in the next game and be like, hey, look at me. Look at all these stars. Look at how good I am, you know. But there was one star that the coaches would give out. It was the white star, but everybody on the team called it the you stink star because we all knew it was the star that these really nice coaches just had to make up to give to the kid who did awful. And you know what the star was called? It was called the most Christ-like star. The most Christ-like star. Hey, you sucked at everything else, but here's the most Christ-like star, you know? And that's what, y'all, I had a jersey full of white stars. That's all I got from the coaches was white stars. But what this verse is saying is that's how we should want to look. We should want to be covered in white stars. That's what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian, y'all, is not that we come to church. What you're doing right now does not make you a Christian. You know that, right? To be a Christian is not that we have a Bible verse tattoo. It's not that we vote a certain way. To be a Christian means to be like Jesus. It means to be covered in white stars. It means to be Christ-like. It means to look at the steps that Jesus took and then try our best to follow in those steps and take those very same steps. And Jesus is generous. And we want to be like Jesus, right? 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. So was Jesus rich in heaven, you think? Son of God, third person of the Trinity? Yeah, I think so. I think Jesus was rich beyond Jeff Bezos' wildest dreams, you know? And he gave it all up. He gave it all up. He became poor. He came down to this earth as a helpless human being, baby, born in a cave with farm animals so that by his poverty, he could make you and me rich. He gave it all up for you. I mean, talk about generosity. And then on top of that, what does Jesus do? He gives us his perfect, spotless life. Go read the law and tell me that's not incredible what a perfect life Jesus lived was. And he gave it. He laid it down for you and your sin against God to make you right with God. And he didn't just die peacefully of old age. You know, he died in his early 30s in the most brutal way imaginable on a Roman cross for you. He gave that for you. He did that for you. And talk about generosity. And my point is, how can we call ourselves Christians? How can we call ourselves followers of Jesus and be stingy? How is that possible? I don't know if it is, y'all, to be honest. If you want to be like Jesus, then be generous like Jesus. And that all starts with your heart, by the way. It all starts with your heart. Being like Jesus starts with our heart. And listen to what Jesus said about our heart one time. Matthew 6:21 says this, where your money is, where your means to survive is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there's your heart. So I think the question we got to ask is, well, where's our heart? Where's your heart? You know, let's just be real. If you gave me your phone and pulled up your bank account and let me kind of scroll through it, I think I can tell you where your heart is based on what Jesus says, because your bank account shows where your treasure is, and where your treasure is shows where your heart is. Oh, your heart is at the West Elm Mall, you know, or your heart is your car, or your heart is your vacations, or your heart is fishing, or your heart is hunting, or your heart is golf, your heart is blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying you can't buy things you like. I buy things I like. Don't get me wrong. But I want to ask you to think about something. And I was debating on whether or not to even ask you this question. But I think it's an important question to ask ourselves. If your car payment is more than your generosity to God every month, to your church, or to other people who are in need, then all I'm saying is, y'all, no judgment. All I'm saying is, there's your heart. There's your heart. There it is. If your fishing gear and gas for the boat and your bait and tackle and your boat payment, and listen, I love fishing, but if it all adds up to more than your generosity to God, more than your gift to God, to your church, to other people, whatever, I'm just saying, all I'm saying is there it is. There's your heart. Not being legalistic, all I'm saying is, according to Jesus, there's your heart. Because Jesus said where your treasure is, there your heart is. And again, not trying to make anybody feel guilty. There's no set amount that you need to give. I'm just saying your heart will be wherever your treasure is. Jesus is saying that. So look, if you want to be like Jesus, think about this. If you want to be like Jesus, if you want to have more of a heart for Jesus, if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, then put your treasure where Jesus is, right? I mean, that's duh, because there your heart will be. It's as simple as that, right? But put your treasure where you know Jesus is. Put your treasure where you see Jesus working, you know, and there your heart will be with Jesus. If you believe that Jesus is working in this church, man, give to this church, y'all, so your heart can be a heart for Jesus. And if you don't, then immediately after this service, go to Google and find another church that you believe Jesus is working in and give to God through that church. But that's how you get a heart for Jesus and be more like Jesus, because where your treasure is, there your heart is. That's how you get a jersey filled with white stars. That's how you can be Christ-like. So that's one reason why we are generous, because Jesus is the definition of generosity, and we should want desperately to be like Jesus if we're real followers of Jesus. And secondly, here's another reason why we should be generous. Because our generosity means a lot to God. Our generosity means a lot to God. I think God really appreciates when we give gifts to him. I mean, what father doesn't appreciate a gift from their child, right? What good father? And he's a great father. He's a perfect father. Now listen, God doesn't need your money. God does not need your gift. God is not like, hey, I'm a little short on gas money this week. Can you get through the app? You know, that's not how God works. God doesn't need our money. He owns everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? Everything you have, God has given to you anyway. Oh, no, Brandon, I earn what I have. Well, who do you think gives you the physical ability to work? You know, who do you think provided for you that job? He gives you every breath you breathe, y'all. Who do you think holds your health in his hands? God owns everything. He doesn't need a cent from you. He doesn't need a cent from me. But I think our gifts still mean a lot to him, because we are his children. He is our father. Like when my one-year-old gives me a gift, even if it's just one of her old toys, like if my one-year-old comes up to me and hands me one of her old chewed up naked Barbie dolls, because for some reason all of our Barbie dolls are naked and chewed up in our house, I mean, I love it. I love it. It means so much to me. I don't need it. It's mine anyway. I bought the dang Barbie doll, but it means so much to me. I love it. Why? Because of who it came from. Because I'm her father. She's my child. And I know her heart behind the gift. And I think the same is true for God, y'all. Here you go, Daddy. I love you. God doesn't need our gifts. He doesn't need our money. The biggest gift that anybody in this room could give to God financially is a naked, chewed up Barbie doll to God. He already owns. He doesn't need it. But I think he loves it when he receives a gift from us because of who it came from. That's how much he loves you and me. Also, don't forget, God is a jealous God. The Bible says God is a jealous God. And I didn't really understand, if I'm being honest, what that meant until I became a father. Guys in here, men in here with daughters, I feel for you, man. Especially those of you in here with teenage daughters who are starting to date. Like, I literally cannot even imagine. I mean, it's bad enough for me, and my oldest is 3 years old. I'm going to use a couple of my kids for this message today, I guess. But it's tough already for me with my three-year-old daughter because she's got this little boy who she likes in daycare. In daycare! And get this. The other day, this little punk colored my daughter a picture and gave it to her. And not just any picture. It's a picture of flowers and trees, which I think is a little inappropriate, you know? A little too romantic, I think. And it wasn't even good. He can't stand the lines for nothing. His tree was blue. When's the last time you saw a blue tree, that little doofus? But she comes home with that picture, y'all, the other day. And she says, Daddy, look what so-and-so gave me. He's my best friend. I was livid, y'all, livid. What? He's your best friend? I give you everything you have, and he's your best friend? So I think I get a teeny tiny bit of what God's fatherly jealousy is like. God's like, what? I give you life. I give you salvation from your sin. I give you heaven when you die. I get you out of hell. I give you every breath you breathe. I give you every cent you have. And your car is your best friend. Golf is your best friend. I mean, come on, really? Not me? That's where your heart is? Not me? Y'all, I'm just saying, I think your generosity means a lot to him. I think your generosity means a lot to God because God loves you so much more than you can comprehend. And he's a jealous God. He's a jealous father. And thirdly, we should be generous because God blesses generosity. God blesses generosity. If you're not generous, will you go to hell? No. If you're not generous, will God love you any less? Of course not. But if you're not generous, will you miss out on crazy blessings of God in your life? Absolutely, 100%, yes, you will. And y'all, that is devastating. That is devastating. I could not even imagine my life without the blessings of God. The things that I know came as a result of the times where he's blessed me for being generous. I would not survive without it. He blesses me in so many ways that are tangible, you know, that I can see, that I can touch. And he blesses me in ways that I can't see. I'm sure he blesses me with health when I would have been sick. I'm sure he blesses me with safety when I would have been hurt. And I know, y'all, is that God blesses generosity. I've seen it so much, and I know that because of what the Bible says. All throughout the Bible, there's this message of God blessing and rewarding generosity, Old and New Testament. Let me just give you a few examples. Proverbs 19:17 says, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. Proverbs 22:9. Listen, blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor. Blessed are those who are generous. Psalm 112:5, good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Good comes to those who are generous. Matthew 6:4, give your gifts in private and your Father who sees everything will what? Will reward you. And this is one of my favorite ones. 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Remember how I said there's not a set amount that we're required to give. That's true. But what this verse is saying, I think, is if you decide to give a little, you'll be blessed a little. Small crop, right? If you decide to give a lot, you'll be blessed a lot. It's your choice. Now, this is not what we would call in America the prosperity gospel, right? I'm not saying that if you give $100 to your church today, that God will give you $1,000 tomorrow, okay? I'm not saying that's going to happen like what we call a prosperity gospel preacher would say, but I am saying it might. It might happen. I'm not going to put God in a box because God says he blesses generosity. I'm saying it might happen. All I know is that scripture says God blesses generosity in some way, shape, or form. Maybe with wealth, maybe with health, maybe with safety, maybe with treasure on earth, definitely with treasure in heaven, which is where it really matters anyway, because we're going to spend eternity there, not a measly 70 to 90 years if we're lucky, right? But scripture says God blesses generosity. That's all I know, y'all. The most blessed people I know are the most generous people I know. And it's because generosity always equals God's blessing in our lives in some way, shape, or form. I don't think there's a way around that in scripture. I'm telling you, it's the truth. And if you don't believe me, try it. If you don't believe me, try it. I dare you to try it and find this out for yourself, that God blesses generosity. And then the last reason why we should be generous is this, because generosity builds our trust in God. Generosity builds our trust in God. Let's be honest, trusting God doesn't come naturally, does it? It's scary and it's hard, especially when it comes to our money that we depend on. A lot of us, if we're honest, and I've been here too, we say, God, you can have all you want, just don't touch the bank account, you know? You can have my Sunday mornings, I'll even serve in kids ministry. You can have my Instagram bio, I'll put a little cute verse in my Instagram bio. You can have all that, but not my money. Why not? I think maybe deep down it's because we really don't trust God. We really have a trust problem. I think a lot of us do. I know I did for a long time. I'm scared I won't make bills. I get it. But do you trust God? Do you trust God with your bills? I'm scared I'll be miserable if I don't buy this or if I don't buy that. Well, do you trust God with your joy? And when we make the decision to be generous, we will see that God is 100% trustworthy and that he always will take care of us. Being generous, though, forces us to get to that place. It forces us to build that trust in him. It builds our trust in him. And you want to build your trust in God, y'all. I'm telling you, you do. Because, y'all, the more trust in God that you have, the more likely you are to live a life of fulfillment and purpose and joy. Because think about it. You go through things all the time. And where do you go to for advice? You know, you go to this person for advice on this situation. You go to this book written by this person for advice on this situation you're going through. And maybe it'll be good advice. But at the very best, it's still advice from a broken, sinful, messed up human. However, the truth is, if we go to God's word for wisdom, we go to God through prayer for advice and for leading, we can trust that 100%. But you can't do that with human beings, y'all. You can't trust man 100%, but you can trust God 100%. And I'm telling you, the more generous you are, the more you will come to realize that. The more you'll come to see that. The more you'll come to trust that. I'm just going to read you the words of Jesus on this and then I'll wrap up, okay? Luke 12, 24 through 31. Jesus said, look at the ravens. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. Why? For God feeds them. And you are far, listen to this, you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies, look at the flowers and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, the richest man that ever lived, in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Why do you have so little trust? Don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of who? Unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Isn't that crazy? He already knows exactly what you need. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek God above all else, and he will give you everything that you need. So trust that. You know, trust that. Trust that God will take care of you. Trust that he loves you. Trust that you are his child. Trust that he is a perfect father. You can trust him 100%. Be generous and find that out for yourself. Be generous and build that trust in God, because generosity builds our trust in God. So let me recap here, and then I'll shut up. And we should have a slide for this on the screen. So I believe the step that a lot of us need to take next in our walk with Jesus is the step of generosity. I really believe that. I believe that for some of us, if we finally take that step, we will see God work in us and work in our lives in ways like we can't never even dreamed, never even fathomed. And who should we be generous to? Well, anyone who asks, really, but more specifically, our family and, of course, our local church. And what is generosity? Biblical generosity is giving whatever you feel led by God to give, deciding in your own heart through prayer and wisdom and discernment how much to give to anyone who asks, to people in need, to people in your church, to your church, and giving that amount. And here's why we should be generous. Because first of all, Jesus Christ is the definition of generosity. And how can we say we're followers of Jesus and not be generous? Also, we should be generous because our generosity means a lot to God. He's a jealous God. He wants us to trust him with everything. He blesses our generosity, and we don't want to miss out on the blessings of God in our life, whatever that looks like for you or for me. And because when we're generous, it helps build our trust in God and strengthens our faith and makes us stronger followers of Jesus. So be generous, y'all. Be generous. And I speak from experience when I tell you that you will never, ever, ever, ever regret being generous. I promise you, again, just try it for yourself. Find out for yourself that aside from taking the step of actually putting your faith in Jesus, which is maybe what some of y'all need to do next, but aside from that, taking the step of generosity is the most rewarding, most exciting, most powerful step we can take as followers of Jesus. I dare you to try it. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for your word that challenges us. This is a challenging thing to talk about. It's a challenging message to receive. I believe that the enemy is working in this room, and I believe he is trying his best to harden hearts in this room from this message from your word about generosity. Because the enemy knows that if he can stop us from trusting you with everything, then he's won. God, you want everything from us. You want our lives, every part of it. You want access to everything. And you want to do things in our lives that we can't do ourselves. You have a plan for us, a custom-made plan for us that is far better and far more rewarding than any plans we have for ourselves. But you require us to take steps to walk into that plan. And I believe the step that a lot of us need to take is this step of generosity to walk into that plan that you have for us. So God, I pray that you would give us the supernatural strength to take that step so that we can see that we can trust your word 100% on this, and that you will always take care of us, and that you will bless us, and that you will use us to do things we never even dreamed. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you guys so much for listening to me. You guys have a great week. You are dismissed.
If you're encouraged by today's message, be sure and rate us and subscribe on iTunes.